Hey everyone, this is our graduate supervision and support call for November. It's December tomorrow. What? I can't quite believe it, but I'm delighted to be spending the last day of November 2023 with you all. Super fun. So a couple of admin points to share with you before we kick off, and please know the chat is open. If you do have something you're bringing today, just drop your name in the chat and we'll take it on our first come, first served. So two things. One is we are finally getting around to sort of redesigning, simplifying the graduate site, which was sort of developed by a very enthusiastic developer who I think kind of overcomplicated a lot of things. And then I didn't give it enough attention. So the fabulous Kay is going through and making it just much easier to navigate around and find what you need. So if you've ever emailed her and said, where will I find this? Then hopefully we're going to reduce those kinds of queries by simplifying the site. So it's in progress at the moment. You'll notice that there are lots of changes there, and she's getting that sorted, hopefully in the next week or two. So that's a good thing. Second admin thing is I'm opening up some places for a more intense supervision experience. So while this is fab for you integrating the SBCA tools into your practice, and this may suit your needs perfectly in coming to these monthly calls, if you're wanting something a bit more intimate, a bit richer and deeper, then I'm offering some small group supervision experiences. It's a year-long commitment with an opportunity to renew. Lovely Sarah has been with us this year. And yeah, it's much more of a structured, considered sort of supervision type experience. The pricing for that is turned into US dollars because I'm having to do that with moving to New Zealand. And we're pricing this at a monthly rate of $208, which is just I think it's about £180 a month, based on about one or two client sessions per month, the average price. So I want to make this super accessible, really rich. And Sarah, that's so lovely. It's been incredible. I am part of a small supervision group that I've been with for 6 years. I also work with a supervisor for my supervision work. It becomes a little bit of a pyramid scheme when it comes to, ensuring that you're showing up in a way that feels really good for different aspects of this work. So I think supervision is the kind of secret sauce to real depth and mastery in this work. And because we're self-regulated in this industry, it's one of the ways that you can ensure that you're working within your scope of practice, that you're minimizing entanglement in rich ways, and that you're showing up not just to your client work, but to your business in a way that really reflects your evolving self and your values. So if you are interested in that, if you're watching the recording or if you're here and you're thinking, that might be for me, do let me know. Over the last couple of years as I've been offering this, the places have just filled up from the wait list. So I don't tend to advertise this super publicly. So if you do want to, if you know this is something you want, then please do get in touch and we can have a chat about it, see if this is right for you. The timing of the calls may not work for you because I'll be in New Zealand. So I'm super happy to refer you on to other supervisors that I know that are primo. So if supervision is a thing you want more of, please get in touch and we can figure out what might suit you. Okay, on with the show, as they say. Who has a case they're bringing today? Something in your client work, in your business, or you as a human? Give me a wave. Or we'll be having a super short call. Sarah, do you want to kick us off, love?
So, first of all, apologies, because I can probably find some of these answers out if I go back through my notes. But this is a client case I had yesterday. And as the call was on, I thought I'll bring it to you and maybe you can help me with my understanding. So I'm seeing a pattern with a client that I'm working with. I recognize it with another client, I think also, and maybe a bit with myself too, with very much driven by an inner critic with the voice of, I should be able to do all of this myself. And I'm putting all this effort in and very drive, 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 do more to do well. Then when a controlling influence steps in, so in my work, what's generally happened is a boss has come in and they've kind of stopped them being able to control everything. So an example from yesterday, she's put loads of work in the background to get a project underway. He's just not answered any of her emails. Then when it's come back, he's just given her a kind of hard no. So then what happens then, she goes straight into kind of the scapegoat pattern. What's the point? Why bother? It's everyone else's fault. It's so much harder to do it in this environment. It doesn't work. The question I have, which I haven't got to with her, because we kind of finished this session there and I'm wondering where to go next, is for her, what she kept repeating is, I should be able to do this on myself. I should be able to do this myself. It feels like a real challenge with not having a sense of control. Yeah. And so the couple of questions I have are, firstly, I don't know whether I understand why complexity is scary, because if you say to me, oh, judgment is really hard, then of course, like, it feels like, well, of course judgment would be really scary. But trying to get somebody to understand kind of a challenge with why they feel complexity is really difficult, I'm not quite getting yet. And I feel like I need to know that, because that might be something that she's struggling with too. And I suppose just as a bit of extra clarification, I was going to do in the next session, kind of going through some really specific examples of, because at the moment it's a case of, it's always the same here. Every time I put in all this effort, the same things happen. What's the point? You know, I'm going to jack it all in. So I'm going to go through a four faces of the protector map in a couple of really specific examples. So do one in the session and then give her it as homework to have a think about also. So I suppose the other thing was just throwing it out there that, given that situation, is there any other places you might go with that case study, if there's enough info there?
Such great context, Sarah. Thank you. And yeah, what a juicy old situation. Can I ask, you mentioned that this is something you also experience. How does this show up for you?
How does it show up for me?
This relationship with control.
So in my specific example, sometimes it shows up because we have children and my job doesn't earn as much as my husband's job. So often I'll be just getting into the swing of doing plenty with work. The kids are sick. It's always me that has to pick up the kids. It's always his work that takes priority.
Sure.
And I feel myself getting to that. I can't really control that pattern. And rather than coming up with solutions, I tend to do the scapegoat of, it's all too hard. What's the point? I may as well not even bother, because
yeah,
I feel like I lack control there.
Yeah. So I wonder, like, the thing that comes up for me as you're talking, and in this, and I just want to take this client in particular, the one who's done all this work, sent something off to her boss and he's given her a hard no, and she's gone into the kind of fuck it, chuck it type mode, right? Which is great for that kind of critic scapegoat combo. it's the stories that you mentioned, you know, it's everyone else's fault, this always happens here, all that. That's a very kind of, you know, familiar pattern, I think, for those of us, and I share that pattern of the critic and the scapegoat. So the other thing to bear in mind here is that she may well be right. This may actually be her healthy adult self saying, I'm actually really unappreciated here. The work I'm doing is not valued. I'm either not getting clear direction, or I'm finding out at the last minute, like after I've done the work, that it's not what the organization is asking for. That's a really shitty place to be. So I guess this is the thing to notice is it actually a protective pattern?
Okay.
Is it her healthy adult self? It may well be a combo. It probably is. But I think it's always good to kind of have that in mind. Like often when you've got someone with high self-belief as well as a high protective critic pattern, there's usually that combination. I don't know if that resonates for you, if you're wondering that yourself.
It absolutely does. But some of the behavior, some of it would be made so much easier if you asked a few more questions up front, or rather than your auto, because the critic drives you to do, well, I'll just keep working as hard as I can and doing more. This will solve the problem.
Totally.
If you weren't so driven from your critic, you may step into your stage and be a bit more reflective and think, how can I approach this and what questions do I ask to avoid the inevitable further down?
Yeah, totally. So just notice, right, you've got a combo here, right? You've got someone who is like, clearly their values are being stomped on a bit, right? That's usually why we go into that kind of, you know, that sort of state of, this is not working for me here. This always happens here. I think that you've noticed it's a pattern is a great way in for her to see, you know, even to reflect back. I'm noticing that I've been thinking about our last session. I sense this is a pattern, right, where this is happening. I'm interested, I wonder if you are, in looking at how you might interrupt that pattern and respond to this differently. And it's almost like you want to get her into a sort of observer mode of, let's look at what happens at different stages of this process, of this pattern. So when you are saying yes to something, what could you do differently there? How do you say yes to work or to requests? Right? And then what happens when you go through that process? Why is it that you are believing that you need to be in control? Right, so there'll be a bit in the middle there around, it's all got to be me. And, you know, one of the coaching tools I was taught years ago, it actually comes from Toyota, if you can believe it. Toyota are a Japanese car manufacturing company, and they have an excellent record of root cause analysis of any engineering faults. And the way that they figure those faults out is to ask why five times, right? So this is a great coaching tool, and you can say to your client, this might be a bit irritating, but I want to get into underneath what's going on here, right? So I should, the words you used, I should be able to do this myself. Why does that matter? Right? Usually it will be because I don't trust other people. Why don't you trust other people, right? So you're getting into the, when you get to the end of it, if you ask it three, four, five times, you're going to find some protective belief in there that you can work with.
Super helpful. Thank you.
And you know, also remember, Sarah, I think one of the reasons that you may be finding this tricky is control is a survivor strategy. It's mm-hmm. not coachable. So when she's rocking up to those sessions and she's in that mode, she is actually not coachable. She just wants to recruit you onto her team to tell her she's right. And I bet you feel yeah. that.
I feel that so much. Yeah. And I hadn't thought about that. I know I'm entangled because I 100% agree with everything she says.
Yeah.
really
yeah.
hard.
Yeah.
For her to operate in that environment. And obviously we have the same pattern, so I would feel the same. So right. I'm always stepping, which is why I'm relying a little bit on tools, because I'm trying to,
yeah,
a little bit of, if I stick to a bit more of a formula, a bit more of a process,
yeah.
it stops me from getting lost in her story a bit. But that's,
as you're talking as well, you know, one of the things that struck me when you were sharing how this shows up for you is the unfairness of it.
Yeah.
The sense of injustice, unfairness, that can often be the value that's being stomped on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and no one's wrong about that, right? If it feels unfair, it's unfair. Like we, you know, we can validate that for you and for her.
Mm-hmm.
It is unfair. And so it's like, can we interrupt that pattern? Are there conversations that need to be had? It sounds like her and her boss could probably get to a point where they could have some compassionate confrontation, right? When you say no at the end of the thing, this is how I feel. This is what I need from you. This is what I'm going to do differently, right? And so they start to reestablish how they're going to work together.
Yeah. And I really like that because it's kind of, it can, we can hold at the same time. Yes, it's unfair. Yes, I agree with you.
Yeah, totally.
Do you want to change this pattern? Because she does want, she loves the money and she wants to stay, you know, at the end of the day. So,
And that can feel almost like worse, right? Because if you didn't care, it's like the decision's clear. I can just go somewhere else. But when you are invested, you know, I think that in some ways, I think that's the more mature response, right? Because it's like, we stay in the marriage, we stay in the workplace to figure it out, knowing that there isn't a perfect ideal out there, which is all rosy and unicorns, right?
Yeah.
This is the reality. So can we be in it? Can I feel resourced in this situation?
Yeah. It's just helping her come out of that trapped energy because she's kind of, it collapses.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What you've just said there about being in the survival self is really helpful. That gives me a bit of a...
And just know, like in answer to your other question around complexity, this is a form of that, right?
Okay.
Another word for complexity can be overwhelm,
mm-hmm.
right? Where you've got, I just feel overwhelmed because there's too many things either vying for my attention or I'm being pulled in different directions. I'm being asked to hold too many truths, right? Too many things feel true at the same time. And that can feel overwhelming. You can feel trapped. You can feel a bit like there's no way out. You can feel a bit like a victim in it. We want to defend and blame, all of that kind of response. Very understandable when you're in that spot of, oh, it's too much. I'm overwhelmed. Right. So overwhelm is connected with the scapegoat, and that's the adulting is too hard.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, it's just too much. It's too hard. So this does, I think you're onto something here around, you know, that pattern, that scapegoat pattern and the sense of overwhelm is too risky.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, and the way through that is to kind of slow her down a bit and really look at this pattern. Go through it. What happens at the start? What happens in the middle? What happens at the end? How do you respond? What would you like to do differently? What else could be true? What are your choices?
Mm.
And then she gets to feel like, oh, actually I think I'm trapped, but I have this option. I have these choices, and it can just kind of free up that sense of being overwhelmed.
Yeah. Which makes total sense with, you know, people who've burnt out previously.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Completely. Yeah. With that history, I would say, yeah, this feels like a really classic pattern.
Mm.
Burnout, work too hard, burnout, go into fuck it, chuck it mode. and then, you know, get a bit of sleep, resource yourself a bit more, and then go back into the hyper overwork, right?
Yeah.
And so what we want to get to is some kind of manageable balance. You know, we don't want her to lose her fire and her passion and her leadership and her energy. That's probably, you know, the what makes her her, right? We don't want to make her wrong, but it's more how can you tweak your responses, the way you see this and perceive this and respond to it, so that you get to experience more of the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that help you, Sarah?
It really does. Yeah.
Anyone else want to add anything in? What did I miss? What do you want to add? What do you want to share with Sarah? This is what we do in supervision. Everyone gets to say. Hey, Anka.
So yeah, I love what you already, I don't know, have I been here before? So if not, hi, I'm Anka.
Yeah. Anka just graduated. So she's,
it's kind of chilly here.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I love how raw and how true you were talking about the story. And one thing I always notice, which is so powerful, is to really, really give the person the feeling that they are received. This is really true. This is very difficult. So many people are suffering from this. This is a real problem of our time. You are not alone. I totally get it. Like that usually, in my experience, that takes away so much of the self-doubt, the all these kind of things. Also the secret kind of feel like I'm not doing it right and everybody knows it, but nobody tells me, all this kind of stuff. It's like no. You and Seth, you did it so many times with me too. Like, it feels so good to hear somebody else validate what we are feeling and say, this is so right what you're feeling. I totally get it. And it's shit. And let's see how we can figure a solution out, which is what you talked about already. But this kind of camaraderie in the initial response that usually makes a total difference. It does a half a belief buster already.
Love it. That's such a great suggestion, Anka. And, you know, what I'm thinking as you're talking as well is this is a way to let her know she's already got you on her side, right? If that survivor self is like uncoachable and amped up, when you say, dude, I get, you know, that must be so demoralizing, you know? Like, I see this a lot, you know, you can share whatever feels good, but it's more to say exactly what Anka said, you're received here. You don't need to fight for my validation. You've got it. And then it's like the nervous system of the client can kind of relax a bit because that's what will be amped up when they're in survivor mode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great suggestion, Anka. Brilliant.
Maybe to add one thing, in my experience, it's often maybe even the key to get them out of survivor self back into themselves, whatever self they are at, but it calms the fire of all this surviving trauma stuff, and it makes like the relatable, like the one thing in basically helping people with in traumatic situations is to be there with them, because if we are together, there can't be a trauma, really, kind of, you know, like simple words, but like you are then with her, and then she's not alone anymore, and that already does a whole nervous system trick.
Thank you.
So great. Nice. You've complete, Sarah? Feel good? Yay. Thank you, Anka. That was brilliant. Yvonne. Hi, love.
Hello. For some reason, my Wi-Fi has decided not to work this morning, so I've had to come over and just, like, hold my phone, so I'm getting a little bit of heartache. That was really helpful, actually, for what I was planning to bring. Because it's around a kind of similar vein. So I'm doing I had a second session with a client yesterday, and I was sort of getting to the point where I wasn't getting any deeper than kind of surface level stuff that she was talking about. It was all around, you know, like she's not, you know, she's quite overwhelmed with all the stuff that she feels like she needs to do, like basically having her shit together, you know, at home and at work. She's up to 4 days at work. She's got 3 kids. She's not getting the time to spend individually with the kids. You know, a lot of pressure on herself, but admitted that the pressure was self-imposed pressure on herself. And it felt to begin with. Like, she was looking for me to just give her an answer, you know, like, here's a schedule, go and try this out and, you know, you'll be fine, anything. But actually, I think working my way through the session yesterday, I kind of just reiterated over and over again that, you know, she's not alone in this. You know, that lots of people share the same feelings, myself included, and that there is a way to sort of find her way into like a routine or a situation that makes her feel good about, you know, what she's doing daily. And then I finally kind of I went through the uncovering protective belief tool, and I finally got to a point where her main worry is that her kids won't have like a happy like upbringing because of the pressures that she's under as a parent. So she's worried that obviously like once they get older, the memories that they'll have is of like a stressed out mum and, you know, trying to do all the stuff but not keeping herself under, you know, like this calm, cool presence type thing. So I find that really interesting, but then at the same time I was like, okay, now where do I take this? Yeah. Because like I say, she was very much looking for like an answer to the surface level routine stuff. I did send her away with the life map for homework,
right?
So I'm hoping that she might sort of like uncover a little bit more working through that. But I'm thinking, so I'm seeing her again in 3 weeks. I just wonder, like, for the next session, if there's something that I can plan for to, I mean, she's gone away with some experiments, like, to help with the routine stuff, but also, like I say, the life map to hopefully uncover a little bit more. But yeah, I wondered if there was anything a little bit further that I could sort of, like, pull out with this thing that, you know, like, this worry that she's got.
Yeah, beautiful. Gosh, and I think I'm not a parent. I think you know that. But I imagine that is the core worry of most parents, mm-hmm. isn't it? Are my kids happy?
Yeah.
Are they okay? Am I doing an all right job? Because, you know, like us coaches, right? There isn't a scorecard for parenting, right? Which is why we've got this kind of shit show of a hierarchy of what good mothering looks like, what good parenting looks like. So I think your approach here to just reassure her that, you know, this is actually a really core worry for her, and it makes so much sense that she has it. That sounds to me like a really good instinct. And I love that you offered the life map as a way to just sort of look at what's led to her, the way she is working in her life, right? Because it seems like this would be her, even if she didn't have kids. We don't know, but I suspect you might find that there is a kind of overworking type pattern through her life map. It will be interesting to see if she does it, right? Because what I notice is this is a person who's overwhelmed, and then we've given her some homework. So
yeah,
we don't know if she will. Right.
That's the thing. I mean, she's like, procrastination is something that she talked about a million times over. You know, if it's not something that's of interest to her, like, she works in retail. So the public facing part of the work, she absolutely loves. And she's now manager level. She's just been promoted to manager. So she's running the shop by herself. But she says all the face-to-face stuff I absolutely love, but when it's on a quieter day and I've got like proper grown-up manager stuff to do, she's like, I just don't do it. And it's the same at home. She's got the same pattern at home when it comes to like what she calls, like, why can't I just be a proper grown-up, was her words. And I was like, I totally feel that. Yeah.
Well, you know, and I guess that's the thing, isn't it? That this is a pattern that exists in lots of different aspects of her life. It's probably been there for a while. So, you know, don't be in too much of a rush to fix it would be my advice, right? To recognize that, oh, this isn't actually about, you know, a wholesale magic fix. This is about making some choices and decisions, slowing down a bit, being with herself, allowing her to see, you know, what can I do? What is actually possible? If she is procrastinating in all different areas of her life and the context that you've shared here, it sounds to me like she's knackered. So the desire to not do anything when you don't absolutely have to do it, you haven't got a warm human being in front of you as a retail manager, right? That stuff is easy to do because they're there, right? But when it's up to you to make those decisions and choices, she may just be like, oh my God, it's 5 minutes where I can just breathe. So, you know, I think sometimes what can happen is when we're working with people who are overworkers, they have that tendency to overwork and to pack their day and then get into the scapegoat critic pattern, right, where it's overwork and then I burn out. But like what Sarah was sharing with her client is that our response can often be, well, let's see what you can do about this, right? Let's give you something else to do. And actually what I would be encouraging her to do and to work with her is to observe herself, like get into the habit of observing herself. Where are the choices during her day where she can make a different choice?
Yeah, right? I'm glad you say that, actually, because I did that was the feedback from the first session that we had, because I didn't want to give her any homework on that first session because it was just very much, you know, she just laid it all out on the table. And that was the one thing that I just said. I was like, you know, you don't need to do any homework, but at certain points of the day where you're feeling the feelings, just observe.
Yeah.
And that was all I was sort of like giving her for feedback to bring to the next session. And it was just that observation. And I've said it quite a few times to her, like observation is like the first step, if you like, to then recognize the patterns and that kind of thing. So yeah, I think that's how we finally got to that point where, you know, this worry came up for her.
Fantastic. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm glad you said that. That was
that, and you know, Yvonne, that suggests to me that you've got this, right? Like you're getting her to do the awareness bit, do a bit of an audit, you know, a bit of a sense check, you know, am I crazy or am I just knackered kind of thing,
yeah.
Right? And then now you're saying, hey, go and have a look at where this might have come from, you know, mm-hmm. Do it the life map. If she doesn't do it in the in the intervening weeks, I would do a quick and dirty one in the next session. So, you know, and even just saying, you know, I've been thinking about where might your belief come from that you have to create this magical childhood for your kids. Somehow, you know, that you're not doing enough. Where does that come from? What was your childhood like? What did you learn from your parents? Blah, blah, blah. Because what I think that's going to give you is some of the underlying beliefs. But I'd also be looking in future sessions, maybe it might be a lot to do in one, but to look at, like, if she, you know, she's a bit stressed right now, but who is she, who does she know herself to be, right? Like as the mum of three kids, a retail manager, like, can you get her to do an exercise where she sort of finds out her values, you know, really gets a sense of what am I all about? What matters to me right now? And maybe make a list of the kind of half a dozen things that have real meaning and joy for her right now. And so then we get to spend some time, you know, how do we make those take up more room? Right. So then the when she's continuing to observe herself and there is that, oh, I'm having that belief right now, or I'm deciding to procrastinate right now, I'm in a decision point. What can I do? Where are my values in all of this? How can I take and, you know, do something that allows one of those to come forward? Right. It sounds kind of cheesy sometimes to think about this, but I think when someone is in that place of, you know, close to burnout, getting to a place where it's just small decisions, one day at a time, you know, what really matters to me? Let's do more of that. It's like you're building then the foundation to kind of, you know, fill up your tank a bit so that, you know, in a few months when she has done that, she has more to play with. She has a sense of, oh, okay, actually, something that's really important to me is fun with the kids, right? I really want the kids to have some fun. So how, what are the fun things? What are fun things, right? What do they think is fun? What do I think is fun? How do we make that part of our week, part of our day? It doesn't have to be a big elaborate thing, right? And she has an idea then of who she is in this, what her kids need from her, and that she has these decision points during the day, one day at a time, small decisions at a time.
Yeah, that all makes perfect sense, yeah.
Burnout is a part, often a part of a survivor strategy of control as well. So, you know, that part of her that kind of whirls away and gives you the lots of context, yeah, lots of information about it. It's like, you know, that's the part that sort of isn't really coachable. She's off trying to recruit you onto her team. And that idea of, you know, reassuring her, yeah, I get it. This is an age and stage thing as well, right? With young kids, busy job, it won't always be like this. It'll be a different kind of stress, right, as they grow. But it's how can you feel resourced within your life right now without waiting for it to change or become some magical idealized reality?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, you've hit the nail on the head. She is exhausted. She's sick, because when she was like asking her to come up with the kind of like solutions of making those initial changes, she's like, well, I just need to get up earlier in the morning. I know I do. I just need to get up. I'm so tired. I just can't get out of bed in the morning. So it's just thinking about the little things that sort of contributes to the patterns that she's getting herself into, you know, like the late night scrolling and, you know, just to sort of zone out from the day that she's had, you know, like the once one thing starts changing, then everything else will have that kind of knock-on effect.
Well, and that's the thing, isn't it? I need to get up early because I'm so knackered, I can't get up early, right? Yeah. It's like, if you're tired, what you need is rest, and right, real rest, not the shadow comfort of scrolling, but actual early nights. So what if your homework for the next week was to have, you know, go to bed at the same time as the kids? Turn off your device and go to bed. Read a book for a half an hour and then fall asleep naturally. And see if that makes a difference to your morning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So she might not need to go to get up half an hour early. She might need to go to bed half an hour earlier, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just like, oh, yeah, it feels like you're onto something here. Like, you need more rest, right? So what decisions can we make about bedtime routine? You know how she's going to know very clearly, right, how much a bedtime routine matters to a little person. It matters to a big person too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sets her up for the whole day. Yeah.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you. I'll bear that in mind for the next one.
Yeah. Yes. It sounds like you're onto it, Yvonne. That's really cool. Yeah. Really cool. Thank you. Anyone else bring in a case today? Soph, Maria, Anka, yeah? Yeah, Anka, go for it.
Okay, so let me just maybe say one thing to what Yvonne just shared, because I hear in there a rebellion teenager a little bit. So depending on how her energy is, that might be another way I would try to figure out, like you don't want to do the grown-up person's work, okay, so tell me more, you know, like and then get more kind of like a party energy in there, and like what you know, what's that sort of story about the love bus idea? So what's that part actually telling you, and why is it wants to scroll but it doesn't want to work? What's, you know, what how can we find a better way there? So that, I don't know, that was just in my mind. Okay, so my own story. Oh, sorry.
Go for it.
I was just going to say thank you. Yeah, that's it's funny because her eldest is 12, so that kind of preteen thing. So I wonder if there's something that's been triggered in herself around that sort of battle that she's having, in her words, of, you know, with her eldest. So yeah, there's maybe something in that. Thank you.
Nice.
Okay, so my own situation is that I am in full blown burnout as a nurse for, like, I don't know how many months now, 3 or 4 or something, and I'm really thinking of moving away from my part time nursing job into doing part time coaching. So far, I'm writing training programs, so that's why I stopped coaching, because for 5 years I've written training programs also about coaching and stuff in German, and now I'm thinking of, like, maybe really going self-employed in Germany. Before I was in the US, which is much easier than in Germany, self-employed as a coach next to being self-employed as a writer. So yeah, Seth knows the whole story already. And I noticed that I'm kind of like, I have a website, I have blogs, I have online courses, I have all the stuff already, but I'm always kind of hesitant in going the whole thing because of complexity, because it's difficult in Germany. So, and I don't know, the last days I did this belief buster for myself around, why am I actually not doing it, you know? And I started figuring out all the side things that make it too complex, where I'm always like, oh no, I don't do it. Like, one thing is also my website in English or in German, because I, you know, that lots of those kind of questions. And then if I start working on it, I'm like, oh, I don't know how to do that. But what I think, and that's like my question here, like, there is an underlying thing on the break, you know, and that's fear. I'm kind of, I'm afraid of getting out there, having to make the money I make from nursing with coaching, where I'm not employed, where I'm not, when I'm sick for months and I'm paid by the German, you know, system. So all this stuff would fall away. So there is more in there, but I'm not so sure. Maybe you have some good ideas for me.
So I love, first of all, that you are calling yourself out on it's too hard to be a self-employed coach in Germany. I know of several self-employed coaches in Germany who are SBCA graduates, right? So I would just say I call bullshit, right? And that doesn't invalidate that it may well be tricky. I mean, I think being self-employed carries with it its own bureaucracy, and that's part of the deal, right? But I love that you're going, yeah, but what's underneath this? Because you're smart. You can figure that out. So tell me about the fear. What do you think? What happens when you imagine taking the first steps? What happens in you?
So I'm already working with clients, like, but not paid, but all kinds of bartering or whatever. And so I know I can do that, and I like doing that. It's like with my patients, you know, like I'm also missing a lot from the nursing, because I love my nursing. I'm cycling around town for 4 hours in the morning, seeing lots of sweet old people, helping them. I mean, they all love me. I always get chocolate and stuff. You know, it's like I get a lot of good feedback for that kind of thing, which I'm missing then. But also, I don't really want to do it anymore. For heaven's sake, I'm that far now with this burnout. But the coaching would mean, like, I'm sitting at home. I'm not getting out. I'm sitting at home. And I don't know if somebody wants it or not. There's, like, and I don't want to deal with all the normal stuff. Like, I'm coaching meditators and some interesting people who like kind of a crazy life like mine, and they want to know a little bit more about how to do that themselves. So that is kind of my niche thing a little bit. So if I would have to deal with all the normal stuff, I would get bored. I'm afraid I would not like it, you know, or I have to deal with clients I don't like, and then I would have to help them, and I don't like being with them. So all these kind of, I think, you know, these kind of moments where you're like, oh my God, this is not the person I wanted. I thought it would turn out to be more fun or something like that. And then of course the whole legal, financial, official law stuff, which is a complexity.
Oh, I love this. I love your protector rocking up with all these stories, right? So good. So helpful to know, right, that all these things could go wrong. Yeah. So what I notice is that you already have a coaching practice. It's just not earning you any money. Why is not that? Right.
For 10 years. I'm doing it for 10 years already.
Why is that? I can't even. Why are you not charging your clients? Why aren't you charging your clients?
Yeah, because it's a legal thing. I don't have a tax ID. I have a tax ID for riding in Germany, which gets me a special, it's called Künstlersozialkasse, like a special, it's like an employment in Germany because they support people creating art stuff. I have been a musician a long time ago. I know that kind of thing. And it's like it pays half of my health insurance. It pays half of my retirement. It's a safe thing. But coaching is jumping into the cold ocean. You know, there's... It's like Shark Tank. It's like, you know,
yeah,
like that's a whole different thing. And if I get a tax ID for it, that's what I need in order to be allowed to make money with it. And I haven't done it yet. So, but okay. I'm about to do it, but I'm.
Okay. So this is the thing, right? Is the tax code ID is the doorway, right? It's great to have that doorway there. At the moment, the door's shut. Because you haven't got the code. But once you have the code, then you can decide to walk through it or not.
Yeah.
So what I notice is your protector is giving you all of these reasons to not bother getting the code. Right? The clients haven't paid for 10 years. If you do this, you'll be sitting at home. I'm sorry. When you're self-employed, does that mean that there are suddenly bars on the windows? And you can't leave the house, right? You'll be bored. Okay. That's a choice, right? I'll have to work with clients I don't like. Who does that, right? All of these things are interesting to notice, right? Because they sound to me like they're just little locks on your door, right? If we try not to bastardize that metaphor too much, right? But but you've got this door. If you open the door, you get to decide all of these things, right? You get to make choices that support you. Now, given that you are just in that place of burnout and coming out of that, right? It may feel a bit like overwhelm to make any decisions right now. That might just feel like, oh, it's too much. I can't do it, right? So be really gentle with yourself. But I want you to start seeing all of these stories as sort of like, you know, you're the sky, these are the weather, right? Here's the weather. Oh, I'll have to sit at home storm, you know, and I'll never be able to leave. My cycling days will be over as soon as I become self-employed. Like, let yourself enjoy the ridiculousness of these stories, right? Because they are crazy, right? And it's like, oh, I'm just watching them whiz past. Like, it's your protector is just going, here's a reason to stay safe. Here's a reason to stay safe. Think of all the shit things that are going to happen, right? And underneath that, there'll be some stuff, the real stuff. Right, around will I be able to do this? Will people pay for this? You know, can I make enough money? Are my family going to be okay? Right, I imagine those are the real worries and doubts and fears that are underneath all of this. But it's masquerading as this, you know, these clouds that are buzzing past you and distracting you, really.
Yeah, so the money part is part of the, then I have to work with people I don't want, you know, because if I don't get enough of the people I would like to work with, of course I have to work with other people if I live off that stuff, you know. Yeah. That's kind of... Well,
and yeah. Just notice, right, we're not there yet, so you don't have to work with someone that you don't like. Because we haven't got the code, so this is all theoretical, right? And that's the thing is this a real problem here today? No. I'd also say, I think it's a fascinating thing that we do as coaches when we make assumptions about who we're going to like and not like. And I, you know, no judgments at all. I mean, there are some people that you just go, yeah, we're not a match. I'm going to refer you on to a SBCA colleague. They will love the pants off you, but you're not my people, right? But I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because some people, we're like, we would never be friends, but I can totally coach you.
Yeah. And that's actually my experience from nursing. Like, I'm always the one who's sent to the worst patients because I still can love them, you know? Like, why am I thinking that I can't do this with coaching clients?
And what I found is that often our protective behaviours make us do really quite unlikable things. We behave in unlikable ways. So if we are coaching our clients that have self-doubt, the rest of the people in their world may find them quite tricky to be with. This is one of the reasons why I think this kind of environment, right, with supervision, where you can bring client cases to say, I'm working with this person and I don't like them, and we look at why. We look at what assumptions you're making, where that person might be coming from, looking at the different perspectives. I think it's a real sign of coaching maturity when you have no requirements on your clients. It's taken a long time for me to get there because, you know, I think in my bones, I'm very sarcastic and judgmental. And that's part of my northern upbringing. But as well, there is a huge layer of like genuine love for the humans. So, you know, I have to lean into that sometimes a bit harder than I would like, and to stay out of that judgy place. But we can absolutely get there, right? And often I think it's because they are mirroring something we don't like about ourselves, right? There's all this counter-transference and transference. Projection, or they're doing something that is just in opposition to our own values. But that can still be a very fruitful coaching relationship. So all to say, there is no barrier towards you and this desire you have. Okay. You just got to get the tax code and we'll figure it out from there.
Yeah, I hear that's kind of my homework now.
How long does it take to get a tax code? Do you know? Or do you know what the steps are?
I already reached out to the tax accountant. She did it for my husband. Like, so she would do it for me too.
Great. So after this call, you could give her a call and say, yep, let's go. Let's get the code. Right?
Okay, yeah, I would think about it. Thank you very much.
Ask your healthy adult self to make the phone call. Yeah.
Thanks so much. It was very helpful.
Yeah. I think as well, Anke, this is such a beautiful example of just the stories that we tell ourselves that feel very valid and genuine and kind of like, I've got to pay attention to this, right? This is real. And when you go, is this actually a thing I'm dealing with right now? Or is it something that my protector is imagining might happen in the future and I'm therefore, you know, making myself worried about it, right? It's a really good thing to pay attention to. Often in the moment we're fine. It's exactly what Yvonne was sharing about her client earlier, like do the awareness bit, just notice all the stuff that's going on. Is any of it valid and true? Any of it need your attention right now, or is it trying to distract you from the thing that really needs to be done that you do have some worry around? Yeah, so juicy. Anke, I want you to email me when you've got your tax code. Will you do that? Yeah, so good. I got a video email from a coach who's in SBCA this morning, and 18 months ago we set her income goal and she reached it, and she sent me a video, and it took her a bit longer than she'd hoped for, but she was like, I knew I was accountable. So it was so lovely to watch this video. So I'm I'm serious. Like, you just send me an email when you got your tax code, and then we know you're good to go. And then I can start, like, referring clients to you and shit, you know? Brilliant. So good. Anyone else got anything they need to share before we close? As a straw poll, I'm thinking about doing like an extra session in December to do like a bit of a review of the year. Is that something you guys would be like, yeah, I'll do that. That might be fun. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. I might sort that out for the next couple of weeks. Then we can kind of catch up and do a little review together. Yeah. Brilliant. All right, loves. Thanks so much, Sarah, Yvonne, Anka. Thanks for sharing, and Maria and Zoe for witnessing. Bloody brilliant. Yeah. All right, you guys, take care of yourselves, and I'll see you soon. Yeah. Okay. Bye. Bye.